But we pray because we love to pray to you. We love to call your name. We're inspired by just the simple fact that you're listening for us. You're listening for us. Just sons and daughters, born of earthly parents, taking one step at a time. What is man that thou art mindful? Is indeed, Lord, our introduction to you. But you're listening all the time, everywhere, in every trial or tribulation, in every trouble or circumstance. No matter where we are, no matter what we've done, you're listening. You hear our cries. You hear our song. You hear even when there's silence. You're listening. Sometimes, Lord, we are in cellular-free zones. Sometimes, Lord, our connections are not clear, but not so with you. If we are in hell, you listen. We are on a mountain, you listen. David said that he was surrounded in the shadow, in the valley of death, but you were listening. And so, God, we are encouraged to pray. There's something about your listening that makes our talking not in vain. You're a God that not only hears but answers our prayer. And so, God, again, we have assembled ourselves in this sacred and holy place, place you call home, place where you never leave. And now, God, we want to listen. We want to hear from you. Dear sir, would you speak to us in a language that we can understand? Sir, please be kind to us in your speaking, for we have sinned and come short of your glory. Dear sir, please be patient with us. Sometimes we're a little slow. We make excuses and procrastinate. But guide us along gently as a shepherd does his sheep. Show compassion to us. For we know how much you love us, but sometimes we don't love you back. So we're listening. Would you speak to the church that we might live and not die? Bring us closer, we pray. And nothing shall come between us and your word. Settle us down. Remove the sting of life that we can hear your voice. God, I pray that you would bless me afresh. Lord, as we have spent time privately, let us reveal these things publicly. Use me in this moment. Save someone, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Name that is above every name, the name that has all the power. Name that is so wonderful to call upon even in this hour. There's something about that name, and it is in that name that we approach your throne, the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's put our blessed hands together. Praise offering to God. Come on, everybody. Everybody give a little praise unto God to bless his holy name. It's not too much to ask. Trust me, you're better off than you think you are. Trust me, somebody would trade places with you even right now. Hallelujah. You ought to just thank God it is as well as it is. I'm still yet alive. Hallelujah. You'll grab your Bibles, smartphones, tablets, New Edge 6, if you got it. Fire it up and pull your Bible app. I have a New Living Translation that I'm going to read from. You have King James, New King James, whatever you may have, that's all right. We're going to draw it together for you. Thank God today for each and every one of you. Thank God for those persons who are working, laboring for our ministry to make it better. And we're very thankful to have people who don't mind coming over to help us. And so we say thank you today. Would you turn with me? This should be easy for all of you to find, to the book of Revelation in the 20th chapter. So if you start from the back, you're going to get there real quick. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Put your finger on verse 11. Those of you who have your smartphones and tablets, you can get there very quickly. Revelation chapter 20 at verse 11, we'll start reading just a few verses and we'll get along quickly together. The New Living Translation of the Bible renders our preaching moment this way. And I saw a great white throne, and I saw the one who was sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence. They found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. Books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things written in the books, according to what they had done. The sea gave up the dead in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead in them. They were all judged according to their deeds. And death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And bless you, you may be seated. I do indeed already sense the gloom that has come over this congregation. Your minds are wandering and your heart rate is increased. You consider, what will we say with these things? I would have you to pay attention for the sake of our few moments together in verse 12, where it says, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Do me a favor, and we'll get along very quickly here, but if you'll just set a bit of a smile on your face and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. Here's where you messed up. And here's why you missed out. Amen. Here's where you messed up. And here's why you missed out. One of the most tragic moments or disappointing moments in my life came when I was 15 years old. Age of 15, I presented myself before the DMV agent at the Florida Department of Motor Vehicle Driver's Testing Exam Station on Normandy Boulevard in Jacksonville, Florida, for the express purpose of obtaining my driver's license. Prior to that moment of presenting myself before said agent, my mom encouraged me and others encouraged me to study the driver's handbook so that I could pass the test to get my driver's license. At the age of 15, I was 6'2" tall, real skinny kid, but I needed a driver's license. Now, Sister Scott, the reason I presented myself before the DMV agent at the age of 15 is because I had been driving since I was 11 and by myself. I started driving because I liked driving and I thought it would be interesting to drive. And on several occasions, which shall now come to knowledge because of media and opportunities to hear such, I would sneak folk cars out of their driveway and ride around and put them back. One day my daddy saw me driving and said to me, well, I can't say what he said, but he said in so many words, you need a driver's license or they're gonna put you in jail. You remember when we were growing up, everything you did always ended with, they're gonna put you in jail. But anyway, Walter, on that particular day, I presented myself before the examining agent for the express purpose of obtaining a driver's license. The lady asked me what was my purpose for standing before her after being called number 48. I said, I've come to get my driver's license. She smiled at me and said, a whole lot of people come to get their driver's license. Few actually do. I should have considered that a precursor of pain that was to come. She handed me a form. At that time, it was not electronic like Mrs. Brody does over at the Department of Motor Vehicles for the Commonwealth of Virginia. They actually handed you a pencil and a piece of paper. On that paper were, I believe, 50 questions. When she handed me the paper, Walter, I said to her, the most dangerous thing that anyone could probably say when taking an exam, I asked her, how many can I miss? It's gonna come back, coach. Stay with me. And she looked at me and said, you can miss 5 and pass. On number 6, you fail. I encouraged myself by thinking, ain't no way in the world I'm gonna miss 5. Took my little paper over to the station that she pointed me to. I began taking my exam. I sped through the exam like Sherman through Atlanta. I went back up to the counter to said representative, handed her my paper with a smile on my face. And they didn't mess around back then. When you gave them the paper, they pulled out the key, laid it on top of the paper, and a red marker and started going down the paper. I did good until she got to the second question. And she went, whoosh. Me at 15 immediately protested. That can't be wrong. She looked at me and smiled and said, I've been doing this a long time. This your first time. Yes, she did. And down she goes, and she did it again, and again, and again. And she got to number five and looked at me and said, do you know if I mark one more of these, you fail. I'm hot. She's on question number 17 and it's 50 on the paper. I'm thinking to myself, this is a conspiracy against me, but she went on. And lo and behold, she made it over to question number 48. Looked at me with a grin that reminds me of the Grinch from Dr. Seuss's Grinch Stole Christmas and said, as if she loved number six. And she said to me, Coach, here's where you messed up. And this is why you're going to miss out. And what I want to tell you is the Bible in this particular setting looks like that moment that I stood before the examiner. The writer says that they are all there. The dead are there. Those who died both ceremoniously and tragically. They're all there, the great, the small, the rich, the poor. They're all there standing before the judge. And I am convinced of God, Deacon McKenzie, that what God is going to say to a lot of us is, here's where you messed up, and here's why you'll miss out. Because the text goes on further to say that those who did not meet the standard of God, they were not escorted to the lake of fire. They were not given a reprieve or time to get themselves together. I was afforded the opportunity on that day to return at a later date and try again. Not so on this day. Lady said to me, she said, well, you can come back tomorrow. I said, I want to do it now. She said, no, the law requires that you must wait at least 24 hours for being reexamined. Not so on this day. Now is our opportunity, beloved of God, to look at where we're messing up so we don't miss out. Tragically, many of you are not concerned. Tragically, many will stand before God on that day with the same attitude that Leroy Mitchell had standing before the examiner, wanting to protest and declare that I could not have missed that many. But the key lies upon the paper. The master, all of the answers were there. I looked at her and I said to her, Deacon Anderson, let me look at my paper one more time. And she said, not a problem. She spun it around like she'd done it so many times before and said, the answer to this question is C and not B. The answer to this question is A and not D. She went down the paper and every one of them that she showed me that I protested, her answer was the same time and time again. Had you studied the book, the answers are there. I looked at her and I declared yet again, that's not in the book like that. She said, I've heard that before. She reached under her counter, laid the book, and flipped every page and went to every paragraph, every line and principle, just as exam, it is so written in preparation. She said, the words are the same. They changed nothing. And then she said to me, Walter, you're holding up my line. Beloved of God, I love to give you some ice cream, some cake, a little piece of candy right along through here. But too many of y'all messing up, and you're going to miss out. They're all there, the dead. Those who died in Christ and those who died without him.
The rich are there. The poor are there. The every Sunday folk are there. The every other Sunday folk are there. The homecoming folk are there. The funeral folk are there. The wedding folk are there. All of them are there. That's what John said. John said, they're all here. Those of you who come sometime, you're not going to be there sometime. You'll be there. And just like the examiner at the Florida Department of Motor Vehicle, the text says, and the book is opened. I've said this before, Peggy, that we need to be very careful that we don't think that our names are automatically included in the book of life. Bible makes it clear that our names will be written into the book of life. The book of life. It's not just because you're born and get to stay there. It has to be written. And there's only one hand that will do the writing. And so many of us think that we can court the courts of God. We can connive and cajole our way around it. But the text is clear. They are not going to be walked down the hall. There will be no fanfare. There will be no pomp nor circumstance. The text says they are thrown into the lake of fire. Thrown as if God is sick of us. Thrown as if God's frustration has reached the finality. The denouement, the epilogue. God is finished with us. Beloved of God, I would caution you on this day. Out of all the things that may happen in your life, you don't ever want God to be finished with you. Here is why. Because the Bible says that he is from everlasting to everlasting eternal, which means he'll always have dealings with us. But not so for those who messed up and will miss out. It is tragic, in fact, to have God even blink when you're in his presence. Bible says he ever keeps his eyes upon us. Even a blink is a bad indication. The fixed and focal point of God is upon his people. His elect, his chosen, are you there? I was so messed up that day. I was so frustrated. I went out of, I turned. And here's the other part that kicked me. I got ready to walk away and she said, excuse me, young fella. You haven't paid yet. I cannot remember, Deacon Campbell, what it cost to flunk the exam. But they don't give you no free pass. Y'all don't see it coming. Just because you don't pass don't mean you don't pay. Some of y'all can see it coming. Yeah, some of us think that just because we don't come to church that we're not going to have to pay. Some of us think because we didn't sign me up for the Christian Jubilee or we never put our name on any membership roster, we took the attitude of absenteeism, but on this day, everybody paid. Nobody walks away saying I was a non-believer, I was an atheist, I didn't believe in God anyway. Why must I stand before God? Because God is God. Silence gives you away. Everybody pays. Nobody walks away. Nobody gets to say to God, I didn't like the pastor. I didn't like the church. My knee hurt me and I couldn't go. Nobody gets to say anything to God except God. He speaks. You notice in the text, it does not say anybody protested. It does not say anyone lifted an appeal. Nobody got a stay or continuance. The book was opened. Those who died were awakened only to die again. You missed it. They were dead. They were awakened only to die again. The Bible said, this is the second death. You don't have to keep messing up. You keep messing up, you're going to miss out. There are those who say, well, I don't have to go to church every Sunday. The devil is a liar. Okay, don't come to church every Sunday. Don't go to Bible study. Don't tithe. Don't do anything. But this day is coming. You can't sleep in on this day. You can't miss the van. You can't say it's raining, it's snowing, it's cold. They're all there. The book is open. The text says, and they are judged according to what they had done. Beware, my love. Please beware. Sometimes not doing is still done. You'll get that. Some of y'all think that because you didn't join the church, you didn't do that, that ain't gonna be counted against you. No. Not doing is done. The Lord's gonna say the reason why you messed up is you did not. And then some of us are going to hear the Lord say the reason why you messed up is because you did. So how? What are the critical things? It's so much, Pastor. There's so many things. There's an instance in the book of Daniel. Daniel, the interpreter of dreams, Daniel, the prophet, major prophet of the Bible. There's an instance in the Bible when Daniel stands before King Jehoiakim, and we have a saying now in the world that the handwriting is on the wall. That's what Daniel was standing before the king, because there was some handwriting on the wall. And coach, what happens is Daniel stands before him and renders the interpretation. I'm not going to give you the whole interpretation. I'm not going to give you the whole handwriting. I just want to focus on a middle part of the interpretation, where what Daniel says to him is, you have been measured and found wanting. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, oh, you're going to get measured. Everybody is. See, here's where the folding of the arms and the rolling of the eyes come in. Because some of us think that it's going to be the pastor that makes a decision, or thinks that the deacon's got something to do with it, or think that because the Lord knows my heart that I'm going to get. No, you're going to get measured. And Daniel says to him, That you have been found wanting. Not wanting like with my hand out, but you lack some serious things as it pertains to God. So on that day, coach, that I stood there before the examiner in the Florida Department of Motor Vehicles, I realized something that holds true today. And I'm just about finished here. But here it is, Jess. Write this down, make it duly noted. Don't mess up the sound long through here. But some of us study to pass the exam. But some of us study not to fail the exam. You'll get that, and some of y'all are going to figure that out. If you don't call me, I'll tell you exactly what it means. Some of us study to pass, but a whole lot of us study so we don't fail. Now, see, the Holy Ghost telling me some of y'all think you're slick now. You done tried to put a little something in there and go either way. It's the same thing. No, it ain't. There's a major difference between studying to pass and studying not to fail. My mistake was when I stood there before her and asked the critical failures question, how many can I miss? I'm tragically informing you today, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday in May, that a whole lot of y'all are living your life in Christ trying to get by how many you can miss. In the words of one of my singing buddies, how you like me now? The reason why a whole lot of us treat God the way we treat God is because we think we got a miss tolerance.
We can miss Sunday. We can miss tithing. We can miss revival. We can miss Bible study. We can miss, and we think we got so many we can miss, and we still gonna get in. The devil is a liar.
Don't want 8 people like me, Coach.
I'm not taking this test anymore, asking how many can I miss. It's a fool's folly to think that you are born and created in the image and likeness of God and you can live your life off miss. Live your life off at least. Live your life off what used to be.
Here's where you messed up. Here's why you're going to miss out. Because you think that you can miss so many and still make it. But I heard the Lord say, none but the righteous. I feel like preaching now.
None but the righteous. Righteousness don't have no miss quality in it.
We got to live holy. Notice I didn't get a lot of amens going through there. Oh, I know. We all know each other's story. I've had some people even suggest to me that's why they don't come to Brookville, because they know my story. I know it too. But I'm coming. I mean, if I know my story and I still come, you can't use my story as a reason not to come. Talk, Leroy. You're helping yourself, son.
You can't keep trying to make excuses.
You know what I've discovered? Let me tell you one of my mottos. Let me tell you one of my inspirations. Let me tell you one of the things that drive me. I love God more when I see how messed up people keep coming.
I love a God who will take folk with fault and promote them anyhow. I love a God who will take folk that are jacked up and still puff, puff, pass, drinking liquor, smoking cigars, cussing, raving, saying, and still said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. I love a God that don't judge us because we messed up, but only blesses us because he gave his only begotten. None of us are here because we're perfect.
But I love God. I see messed up folk.
And I love messed up folk who keep on trying. You sing it, baby. I'm more than a conqueror. Don't just minimize me by calling me a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. If you knew some of the hell I climbed up out of, some of the addictions I've gotten over, some of the pain that I still bear, I'm more than a conqueror. And I'm not trying to live my life on how many I can miss.
Grandma, put it this way. I'm trying to make 100. 99 3/4 won't do. You can't just live this life just to pass the exam. You can't live this life about how many can you miss. Here's where you messed up. Can I preach a little bit more? Writer says that they opened the book. Daniel says to the king, you've been measured. You're missing some stuff. He's the king. You know, you think, you read that whole story. If you start reading the early part of the chapter, one of the interesting things that Daniel said, and I'm not going to really preach over there yet, but I just want to lift it. He said, you know, you do know Belshazzar's. You do know the other story. You do know some of the other kings and how they jacked it up. You know what Daniel really says to Joachim? He said, you know, you must be pretty stupid not to have done better than they did. What he's saying to them is, you saw what they missed. You see how they ended up. How could you be so dumb as to go into the sacred place and bring out the wine cups and you and your partners here parting off God's sacred stuff? You missed. And he says, you know, the interesting thing is you prove you ain't got no sense. Let me tell you about folk who keep trying to pass based on the fact they won't know how many they miss. You keep proving you ain't got no sense. He says, the book is open. Everybody's there. The final judgment, the accounts are about to be settled. It's like that day when you got to school and got to the lunch line, got your lunch, went down the tray, you know, got all your stuff, and you got to the little lunch lady, and she said 35 cents. Well, I mean, that's what it was when I went to school. And you reach in your pocket, and you ain't got no money. I mean, you got all your stuff and you can't pay. And the lady looked at you and said, babe, and now you're doing that frantic search. You know, you're looking in other people's pocket. Listen, if you ain't got it, you can't have it.
Y'all missed that.
Oh, the banquet feast is prepared. It's laid out. Those who can pay can partake. You said, wait a minute, Ram, what? You mean I got, no, it's not like, this is an illustration. But the fact of the matter is, you've been found wanting. How did we miss out? How did we mess up? Well, here's where you messed up. Number one, you fail to present your first fruits to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Don't let that tape run out. You fail. You fail. I didn't fail. It ain't my fault that you didn't present your first fruits. And your first, let me help somebody along through here because I feel a resistance. Your first fruit ain't just money. Your first fruit is your life. Your best you. Don't listen. You can't wait till you old in your 80s and 90s, back up 70s and 60s. Now, come on, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Who else you going to give it to? At that age, don't nobody else want it. You think you're saying something because, oh, now I'm going to give my life to the Lord. You cripple, bent up, you ain't got nothing. Who else want it? Folk you're trying to give it to don't want it. Y'all stay with me. Your first fruits are your whole life. You didn't do that. Listen, Abel did, Cain didn't. Cain got mad and killed Abel because he did what he should have done. And that's what goes on in the church. A whole lot of folk try to kill off the church and kill off the preaching, kill off the program, kill off the people because we're presenting what they won't present. They try to tell you it's unnecessary to give your first fruits in attendance and first fruits in love and first fruits in gifts. First, everything that you have, the first part belongs to God. Your best life is in Christ Jesus. Don't sow your wild oats while you can and then come limping and dragging into the Lord. Come out, here I am, Lord. You can't lift up your own hands no more. Come on, help me, baby. Help grandmama get up the stairs of the church. Well, grandma, wait a minute now. You was on Dancing with the Stars when you were young. Cut a rug for the Lord. You failed. This way you messed up. You failed to present your first fruits to the Lord. Here's what the Lord requires. Bible said this, and you don't turn to it, in Exodus, he said, listen, you bring your very best of the harvest, of the first harvest, to the house of the Lord your God. You got a choir along through here. Here's what the Lord required. This ain't the deacon and the trustees. Let me help some of y'all understand something. Maybe if you all would present your first fruits, you would help us to be budget builders rather than budget busters. We got too many busters around here.
Oh,
all this, you driving good and living good and traveling good and the church struggling. Your first fruits belong to you. I worked for this. I earned this. I lie, lie, lie. What's the middle letter in lie? I. Y'all don't like me now. Sandra, make note of this. Anniversary is still first Sunday in November. You didn't bring your first. It ain't nobody's fault you ain't here every Sunday. It ain't nobody's fault our tithe and offerings are sorry. I almost said something else, but I'm watching. The Lord requires first fruits. You didn't bring it. You didn't do it. You were too busy being you. You failed. And because you're failing, you want to kill off what we're trying to do. You want to kill off our expansion, kill off our growth, kill off our intention to build up the kingdom of God and bind up the enemy. You don't want to give yours, so you want to convince us that we're crazy for giving ours. Oh, it's in the language. Oh, y'all let him talk y'all into anything. Y'all going up there, y'all running all up behind him. What you fail to understand is that him we following is in all capital letters. We're following him because we love him because he first loved us. I'm not most popular right along through here. The second area you messed up in, or the sub-point area rather, I'm going to have enough time. I'm going to have to stop here. But the sub-point is the Lord doesn't deserve leftovers. And deserve leftovers. Why? Because you started with nothing. Everything you got, he gave it to you. How does he get leftovers? Again, you're going to live your life till you old, decrepit, slow, half blind, can't hear. Take me to the water. No, I don't deserve no leftovers. I tithed a little while ago. Bunch of leftovers. But no whole lot of first fruit in there. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Bunch of leftovers. I wish I'd brought my checkbook out here. I can prove it. The only checks I write go to this church. And that's because we don't have a way of doing it any other way. Nobody cuts in front of God. Nobody. They can call me all they want. I'll take a call from any creditor. But I sure don't want that book to get open. And Lord said, here's where you messed up. Oh, you paid GMAC. You paid SunTrust Mortgage. You paid them folk, but you cheated me. They can't help you now. He don't deserve leftovers. Some of us come in here and we can dance our hind parts off at phase two and the Ellington and get up in here and fold our arms. You can find a beat down there. You ought to find a beat up in here. Now, he don't deserve no leftovers. In words of my dear friend and tribute to my dear friend who has departed, B.B. King, you're going to soon discover that the thrill is gone. Yeah, you playing with God. That's what you're doing. You playing church, bringing God leftovers. As I said before, and I'm going to say it again, I might as well stay in this vein. I'm going to add something to it. I know you're mad. I'm going to make you madder. Some of y'all in 18 years ain't never been to Bible study. Leftovers. Some of y'all ain't going to come tomorrow night to prayer. Leftovers. You go everywhere else you went. Some of y'all can't wait to get out of here to go to Olive Garden, Outback, Ruby Tuesdays. You're going to go home and cook your pot roast and fry your potatoes and eat your collard greens. You're going home and eat a good meal and God can't even get you to sit at his table and feed him. Matter. Leftovers. Showing up sometime. Praise him sometimes. What's your leftovers? offering to go up, offerings fall down, leftovers. Attendance up, down, leftovers. Breaks my heart every Sunday. I come around that corner and look out here at this church and see the leftovers. Some of the folk who I just read on Facebook posting their shenanigans and parties and rivalry, and they're here and there, and they're flashing and tagging and tweeting and insta-picking, and I get to church on Sunday and they don't show up. How dare you give God leftovers? You done danced the night away, but you can't meet him at the altar. They don't like me now. But here's where you messed up. What good examiner would not tell you the truth? That lady didn't mince no words with me. She showed me exactly where my errors were. 2nd thing is, when you give the Lord what's first, he'll make everything last. Well, when you give the Lord what's first, he'll make everything last. Man, I'm living the time of my life because I keep God first. Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you now, it's biblically proven. Come here, Elijah. Come here, widow woman. If you keep putting God first, every time you reach in that barrel, there's oil and meal. She kept God first. She said, I've had a horrible life. My husband dead. Ain't nobody but me and his child. I'm going to check out. The man of God said, hold on a minute. Before you go much further, give God a try. She looked at him and said, I don't even know you. But something about what you just said is trustworthy. She didn't belong to Elijah's church. She didn't catch him in the last revival. He was a stranger to her. And she took him at his word. Here's my setup, Elizabeth. Y'all know me. We've been together a while, and some of y'all still doubt. There he go. There he is. She trusted him. And every time, can I say like my grandma Walter, every time she retched in that barrel, God blessed her. Some of y'all are afraid of the barrel. And won't even reach in. You'd rather kick the barrel and curse the lack and shortage. I can tell you now, I've seen God take nothing and make everything. Huh? Somebody help me along through here. I've seen him do it. That's why the Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. God can take a nothingness and turn the world upside down. But you gotta trust him in your shortage. Some of us don't come till we got something to give. Come when you think you ain't got nothing to give and watch what God will do. Secondly, I'll hurry along here. Second thing is, and we'll pause maybe, but second thing is you failed in your first fruits. You didn't do that. And the second thing is you failed in your faithfulness to the Lord. Yeah. Starling, this was never about faithfulness to the man. This was never about faithfulness to me or faithfulness to Brookville Baptist Church. It's faithfulness to the Lord. And let me tell you why some of y'all can't be faithful to Brookville Baptist Church, or Greater Brookville Church, or no other church. You can't never be faithful to a church if you can't be faithful to the Christ. This is not going to go well. You failed in your faithfulness to the Lord. Bible said that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, and the Lord said this about him. There was nobody else like him. My question would be to you, when the book is open, what God going to say about you? You do know I'm not going to be up there to say nothing. I'm not going to be there to witness nor for nor against. I'm going to be back there in the line like everybody else, waiting my turn. But the Bible says that Hezekiah trusted the Lord. And there was no other king like him. And I like this. It says either before or since. Now you got to look down the line. David was a pretty good king. But Hezekiah outranked him in faithfulness to God. It's in the Bible. See, we like David. We go, oh, David, man, that's God's own heart. But look what the Bible says about Hezekiah. He was faithful. And nobody was like him. Can I tell you something? Instead of running with the crowd, why don't you outrun the crowd? Instead of you trying to be like everybody else, why don't you be some kind of special to God? Instead of you worrying about everybody else, what they say about you and who hanging with you, why don't you just hang with God? Thank you, grand boy. Nobody like him. Watch this. And the Bible says, he didn't just play God when he needed a car, or play God when he needed a house, or play God to beat cancer, play God to beat arthritis, play God to beat COPD, play God to beat HIV. He remained faithful in everything. See, some of us, when we're sick, we want the elders to come and lay hands, and we want everybody to know, oh, we're down, and the Lord, I need him. I need thee every hour. He didn't play God like that. Some of y'all done played God. You broke your finger and you thought you were going to die. Because the pastor didn't bring all the king horses and all the king's men. You protested. But then when you got well, we didn't see you no more. For a while. You went to rehab every day. Like they told you, you hobble up to rehab. You can't hobble up to the throne. Sandra, I'm losing my friends along through here. All the friends of the pastor, please say amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to need y'all. See, you can't play God. The Bible said that Hezekiah remained faithful to the Lord in everything. And here's the kicker now. And carefully obeyed the commands. He did the word without wavering. I like that. I just got that one. It's not even on the paper. He was careful. Presenting his first fruits and being faithful to God. Some of us ought to jump up right now to make two corrections. One, present our first fruits over again, and from henceforth and forevermore be faithful to God. Some of y'all ain't gonna move. See, again, you scared of reaching that barrel one more time. I would rather give my last to God. Matter of fact, I'll do it. That's all the money I got. Prove to you, I ain't doing it for you. I know some of y'all think he just showing out. No, I'm showing you how. I'm trying to help you not mess up. Cause we robbing God, lying to God, cheating on God, and calling ourselves Christians. No, here's where we messing up. Here's why we gonna miss out in simple things. The Bible says you have erred in the simple things. Hezekiah, watch this. And here it is. I'm going to stop so we have enough tape. Here it is. The text said this. I love it. It's in Hezekiah. He says, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in everything he did. Brother McKenzie, I put a note here and said, be careful that you don't expose too much, but I'm going for it. We struggle around here in everything. We can't get the roof done. We can't get the parking lot done. We can't get nothing done because, one, we are failing in our faithfulness to God. We don't trust God to go deep. We don't trust God to go to zero. If you do that, we're going to be broke. We were broke when we got here. And your kinfolk like, man, you're going to be broke when you leave here. I tried not to do it, but I feel it. Everything in the Lord was with him. We don't want to have an Ichabod spirit. We don't want God to be done left and we don't even know he gone. We don't want to try this without him. He said, Lord, so, and if you read the text carefully, Deacon Anderson, I like the flow. It said, verse 6 says, he remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given to Moses. So the Lord was with him. It sounds to me like these two things go together. It sounds to me, deacons, trustees, ministers, leaders, that if we get this faithful and careful command thing right, so the Lord will be with us. You know what I want to tell you? I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to try to close it with nothing energetic. I'm going to stop here because I'm feeling myself good right along through here, but it's almost time. Let me tell you, I would rather have favor with God than favor of man. Because man changes on you. God does not. I would rather have God with me in an empty church than a bunch of frauds and charlatans that are not faithful to God and will not present their first fruits. And so God, the Lord, was with him. Watch this now. And I like this. And he was successful. Here's the problem. Coach, watch this note. Some of y'all are more concerned with being successful that you don't care about being faithful. Sister McKenzie, this is where the part comes in. Well, I know he ain't going to go there, but yes, he is. Some of y'all are more concerned about your awards and certificates and promotions and standing on your job and standing in the public eye, and you going to stand before God and get thrown in the lake of fire because you were so busy being successful. Jesus said this, I hear you. You're hollering at me. Let me holler back at you. I got to take care of my family. I got to do this. The Bible says when they approach Jesus with that same statement, Jesus says, your father knows you have need of these things. You ain't saying nothing to God he don't know. Ain't nobody in here surprising God with bills and car payments and medications and need. Everybody in here, God already knows. Knows where you work. God knows how much you make an hour. God also knows you shouldn't have signed that contract. God knows you shouldn't have bought two cars. God knows, but he said, you know what? Because they're mine, I'm going to take care of them. And I learned some lessons. How many know that lessons must be learned? Mm-hmm. So God made him successful. Two things, and I'll let you go. I got two more points. I'll give you what they are, coming attractions. The third point of the matter was that you failed to follow the Lord to the finish. That we'll talk next week. But let me give you two things to go home with. It's almost 1 o'clock, good church time. You can't pick and choose the area of your faithfulness. You don't have that right. You can't pick and choose where you're going to be faithful. You can't say, well, I'm going to be faithful to this, but this mine over here. No, you can't do that. Text says Hezekiah was faithful in everything. Not your name and say, boy, that's going to be a different lifestyle there. That's right, sir. And listen, you can't pick it. See, you know why? Can I tell you why? We're going to go. Can I tell you why? Because you have a habit of picking wrong. The Bible is full of instances where they picked wrong. Saul picked wrong. Saul, the Lord told Saul, go kill everything and come on back. Saul thought he was doing God a favor. Can I tell you something? The Bible proved that a whole lot of y'all that think y'all doing God a favor is picking wrong. The Lord said obedience is better than sacrifice. You trying to pick, you figure, well, I can't come every Thursday, so I come every other Thursday. I can't do every Sunday, so I do every Thursday. No, you can't pick and choose where you're going to be faithful. You got to do the whole thing. Oh, it's so quiet now. I hear hearts beating. I hear sweat dropping on the floor. You can't pick and choose. And too many of y'all, see, this is where you're messing up your faithfulness. And this is real preaching. You know, we can't, you know, I'm not going to be able to feed you no ice cream and cake for a long time. We on a strict diet of asparagus, spinach, you know, nasty stuff. It's going to be some castor oil passed out in the next couple of weeks. But you'll get that little slice of orange and a peppermint on your own. Here it is. I'm going to let you go. He says, in everything, he was faithful to God. So God was faithful to him and made him successful in everything. Now, here's the same guy. Now, this is why you need to notice about his guy. This is the guy that got a death sentence. And before the man of God could get to the bottom stair, God saw his faithfulness. Instead of stomping his foot and protesting to God and sucking his teeth, saying, that's why I ain't going to church no more anyhow. I was going to quit anyway. I was getting ready to leave. He didn't do that.
He turned to the wall and prayed.
Now, here's what's so wonderful about God. Obviously, let me tell you, if it was one of them prayer Jabez things, God would have told us what the prayer was. But because it was so intimate between Hezekiah and God, we don't even know what he said. But can I tell you what the key is? Your much praying before man don't mean nothing. It's what you and God talk about that's going to really save your life. Y'all missed that. See, some of y'all don't even want to come pray with us. You've been told, man, this what it is. Some of y'all had the audacity, well, what they do up there? Before I go, I need to know what they do. It ain't what we do, it's what you going to do. See, we ain't coming here for you. Y'all really ain't liking me now. See, you sitting home looking at your watch going, well, I guess they start. It's funny how folk who don't do with us know what we're doing. I know we disturb your schedule. I know you know what we're doing. You sitting there, you looking out your window and driving by to see how many cars and whose car, but you're too crazy to pull up and hear yourself. It's a fool's folly. See, it ain't about us praying publicly. It's about us praying intimately and privately to God. Whatever Hezekiah said, didn't take him all day either. Before the man of God got down to the stairway, he said, hey, and this is why I often tell folk, don't believe all the hype when talking about he's not a God who changes his mind, because he does. If you say the right stuff, you can change God's mind. He had told Hezekiah, you dead. Get your house in order. He wasn't playing. See, God don't play. God meant that Hezekiah was going to die. And whatever Hezekiah said, his faithfulness won the day. Notice now, God not say you're going to live forever. He gives him a prescribed time. He says, well, okay, because of your faithfulness, because of how you said what you said in such a timely matter, you get some old time. The book is open. There is no more time. Nobody standing in that line is going to get Hezekiah's reprieve. The man who died and had gone to hell stood there and said, please let me go back and warn my brothers. The angel of the Lord said, there is a great chasm between us and them.
They can't come over here, and you can't go back over there. That's why, I'm going to make some folk mad, Sandra. Duly noted, at 1300 hours, Pastor made us mad for the last time, perhaps this Sunday. When you be talking about folk talking to you from heaven and all that kind of stuff. No, sir. The Bible says they have the preachers. They have the church. They have every opportunity to hear from those who are yet alive. The dead can't tell you nothing. If that's your comfort to think that somebody's talking to you, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something now. There are a whole lot of folk that when they were living, I didn't want to hear from them, and I sure don't want to hear from them now that they're dead. That's just me. My daddy dead, and I tell my family the same thing. Y'all don't come to me talking about daddy. Said, you ain't heard nothing from my daddy. He waiting just like everybody else. And I'm not going to sit in no cemetery and talk to no headstone, because that can't help none of us. I don't do that stuff. You need to do that, you go right ahead. I'm not going with you. The dead are dead. It's right in the text. The text says all of them are dead. The dead were brought back before the Lord, and they didn't get to say nothing then. So if they don't get to say nothing in the presence of God, what makes you think they got an open line to you? Oh, y'all really mad now? I know my mama talked to me. Okay, that's what you need. But the biblical principle says, see, we don't want that. Now you ruined my life. Okay. Here's where you messed up. Here's why you're going to miss out. That word I've hidden in my heart. You can't pick and choose faithfulness. See, you want to pick and choose churches. You want to pick and choose pastors. You want to pick and choose assignments. You want to pick and choose, pick and choose, pick and choose, pick and choose. You ain't that smart. Be faithful to God and watch him purpose your life to his glory. Jesus gave us the answer, and we'll go home. Jesus says, Daddy, I have done none other than what you told me to do. I said nothing but what you told me to say, and I'm done. It is finished. You don't get to pick. They told Jesus, said, we can't go back there. He said, we must go. They reminded him, said, they told you if you come back there, they're going to kill you. He said, they can't take what ain't theirs. You don't get to pick and choose. Your silence is duly noted. But I'm trying to help you not mess up so you don't miss out. You stop running around here behind folk who preach in prosperity and telling you how wonderful you are without trying to convict you. We've been coddled too much. All these sugar and spice and nice sermons and how everybody is so wonderful. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. No, it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And none but the righteous will see God. See, we don't like that. He ain't got to say that. The church ain't for that. What the church for? This ain't no fun house. We ain't on no field trip. This ain't Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. This is the gospel. And it hurts. You ought to walk out here today saying to yourself, man, I got work to do. And because no man knows the day or the hour, you ought not be dragging your foot on this. I was going to save my shout, coach, for the last part, but I'm going to tell it. I went back to DMV the next day. Ended up with that same hateful, nice lady. And she remembered me. I walked up. She said, oh, you back. She reached under there and gave me another paper. Said to me, well, let's see how you do this time. I said, yes, ma'am. I was humble. I walked over to the little cubicle, took my time. I read every question, read every option. I didn't just read A or B. I read A, B, C, and if it was a D. I looked at everyone. I weighed them carefully. And I chose not the best answer, but the right answer. Y'all missing it? I was going to be hollering right long through here when I was telling this, but I'm telling it slow. I turned around and walked back up to the counter. The lady said, "You think you're ready this time?" And at that point, Maxine, I think I said something at 15 that might have been the most profound thing I ever said at 15. I looked at that lady and said, "I prepared as best I know how." And she started. When she got past number two that time, I felt better. But something funny happened as she went down the paper. She had the little red pen, Adrian, in her hand. She kept going. She looked at me when she finished page one, flipped it over, placed the key on top of page two. She paused once or twice. She got to the bottom of that page. I had sweat falling off me as if I was in a sauna. She slid the key over to the third page. About midway the third page, Rudy, she put the pen down altogether. And then she just used a little finger. And she looked at me and smiled. And she flipped to that last page and did like this. And she looked at me. She said, "Excellent." That's all I want to hear him say. Excellent. Some of y'all missed it. I don't want to know how many I missed. I want to know that I didn't miss any. Because I prepared as best I know. She called a lady in the little booth next to her. She said, "I got a good one here. Didn't miss any." So he came in here yesterday full of himself. Didn't make it. The lady said, "Let me look at that paper." And I'm thinking to myself, "No, now hold on a minute." The lady grabbed him and she said, "Well now. That's wonderful." I got my little license, stood up and took my picture. Didn't make it home before the police pulled me over. Rolled through a stop sign. So much for excellence. But here it is, beloved of God. And that was to set up next time around, but I'll find me another close, but that was going to come after following to the finish. Because see, it's not just how you start. It's how you finish. And we don't want God to say almost. We don't want God to say he was close. We want God to say excellent. You don't want to miss out. And see, what you need to understand, if you read this very carefully, it tells you that this is an everlasting lake of fire. You don't get no breaks. You don't get another Sunday to try. You don't get another Monday evening to pray. It's forever in fire. So I want you to know, beloved God, I love you too much to let you just mess up and not say something about it. We are not a great church, but we can be. And what's going to make us a great church is when we stop studying to pass or studying not to fail, but when we give it our best preparations according to what we know as truth. There's no curve. There's no, and you come on, no nepotism. You know, we sang that song, come on, there'll be nobody there to kick me out. No, it's not that. That ain't what you got to worry about. It's one judge. One judge. Nobody's going to get kicked out of heaven because they fail popularity. It's either yes or no. So where are you messing up at? Are you failing to present your first fruits? Are you failing in faithfulness to the Lord? And are you failing to follow him to the finish? And then the last shout, which I'll give it to you next week, was, and this is the greatest failure of all, you let the fire go out. You let the fire go out. The book of Levitical law requires that the fire of the Lord never go out. It is our responsibility as Levitical priests of this time, because you are priests. Read the Bible. The Bible says we're a royal priesthood. And what's going to get a whole lot of us in trouble before the Lord? Some of us are probably going to do test question one, did we present our first fruit? Yeah, we'll probably, some of us gonna make that one. Some of us gonna get number two right. We're gonna be found faithful. They say, yeah, you're faithful. And then we'll get number three. We followed the Lord, promised him that I would serve him till the day, hand in the wine and chain, come to the Father. But then he's gonna get to the final one. And he's gonna look at us and say, you let the fire go out. Where's the fire? The fire is in your word, in your worship, in your witness, in your work, and in your willingness. You'll get them next time. Lord, let me live long enough. I'll remember to do the last 2 points. And then the last shout is that the most critical fire that you let go out is, one, we let the fire of the presence of God go out. Two, we let the fire of the promise of God go out. There's some good preaching next week. And the last one is we let the fire of the power of God go out. Your silence speaks volumes. Can't let your fire go out. You have to stop pouting about silly things and let your fire go out. Protesting silly things and let your fire go out. Pontificating and letting fire go out. I come every Sunday to keep the fire burning. I come every Monday and Wednesday and Thursday. Not for you. I can't let the fire go out. You got to remember, it is our responsibility, each of us as Levitical priests, to not let the fire go out. Father, in the name of Jesus, there may be one here today that has listened very carefully. And just as Daniel stood before Jehoiakim and said to him that God has watched you, you've been measured, the handwriting is on the wall, and you've been found wanting. Maybe somebody's here today that realizes they have been measured. The sermon has helped us take measure of ourselves because we failed. And so now, God, before we're called to the final judgment, let me look at where I've messed up make my corrections with the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, because I don't want to miss out. God, I've discovered that eternity, by my estimation, is a long, long time. So to be with you for all eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, or to be in the lake of fire for all eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, it is a choice I have to make. Father, I pray today someone would choose you. Sir, we would see Jesus. There may be a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, mom, dad, even a stranger. I believe the ears that are here because you want them to hear. That's what your word said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I believe those who are not here today, Lord, are not ready to hear. And pray, God, that you'll give them one more Sunday, one more sermon, that they won't mess up. I pray, God, that we'll move from being a church of excuses to a church of excellence. I stood before that lady, Lord, on that day, and you remember, you saw me. And I have enjoyed the privilege of being a licensed driver since that day. That privilege has afforded me the opportunity to see your great lands and to move from one place to the other because I am a licensed driver. But she said to me on that day, excellent. And I believe, God, that if you start in excellence, you ought to work hard to end in excellence. Someday, Lord, the preacher took our hand and the opportunities for excellence were open to us because we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The slate was made clean. There were no marks against us, no sin to be held against us. I know that's right. When you're sin free, you ought to say yay. And so, God, when we finish, that's how the slate must look as well. You took it all away. Excellent. And when we stand before you, excellent. There may be one today, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed. We're making a decision, not about Pastor Mitchell or Minister Uriel or the deacons or trustees, but we're making our decision about the Lord, Jesus the Christ, Savior of the world. No other name in which salvation will ever be found except the name of Jesus. And so, God, I pray today that somebody will make their decision about Jesus. They want to stay in our church. That's just fine. That's really wonderful. But I pray, God, that before they take up residence in this church, they'll take up residence in Christ Jesus and allow you to have residence in their life. God, my first fruits belong to you, and I want to get it right. And so, God, even in this prayer, I'm praying that others will rise from their place and bring their first fruits to fill in the gap of the leftover they've already presented. I'm praying even now that their hearts will be pricked, souls stirred. Don't be ashamed of people, but realizing that you'll be ashamed before the Lord. Because you said, if we are ashamed of you before men, what did we expect to happen when we stand before you and the Father? I'm praying today, Lord, as well, that someone will decide to be faithful like they've never been before. That we won't pick and choose any further, but Lord, we'll be faithful even over a few things. that, Lord, you'll elevate us on that day to everlasting life. I'm praying that preaching will not just entertain us, but, Lord, it'll move us. Yes, Lord, we may not have jumped or shouted, may not have flipped over on the floor, but today, pray that every ear heard you and every heart was moved. We have heard the gospel. What shall we say unto these things? And I pray, God, that we will make up our mind today to follow you to the finish. Paul asked the question, what is it that shall be able to separate us from this great love that we have found in Christ Jesus? And before he gave them a chance to form a quorum or a committee, he began to answer. He said, no thing, no peril, no distress, nothing will ever separate me. I'm going to finish. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to follow you to the finish. And God, help us today that we don't let the fire go out. Help us today, Lord. The world accuses us of being cold and disconnected. But we've got fire, Lord. And it's an everlasting fire. It's an eternal flame. No storm can put it out. No trial, no tribulation, not even death will put out this fire. Oh God, rekindle our flame and let it burn within us. Touch every family today, Lord. We have a young man that's gone missing. And God, we're greatly concerned. So would you be that beacon light? Guide him safely home. Oh God, would you use even the stranger to help him find his way? God, that mother, that father, that family, I am certain, Lord, it is not a comfortable day until that child is returned safely. God, we pray for that family. We pray for that young man. God, help us to take care of our children. Help us to help a neighbor by sending a child back home or giving them shelter, or wise words. Help us to save our children. God, order his steps. We pray, God, that whatever's going on, that he'll remember nothing's too big for God. Lord, bring him home. Thy will be done. Praying, God, for those who are sick. Thank you, Lord, for those who have been sick and are well on the road to recovery. Look upon the face of Brother Jesse and Sister Erna, so many others, Lord, that have been down. But, Lord, they're here. Fighting the good fight. We're going to try that new drug. We're going to take that new regime. We're going to follow the doctor's orders. For yet we remain alive in Christ Jesus. This old tabernacle, this old building starting to lean. Pain is sometimes great. But Lord, we thank you for their lives, that they are as well as they are. Pray for Sister Penn and pray for Sister Hilda. Pray, God, for so many that are just fighting all they know how. And Lord, even when the fight is gone from within, you will fight the battles. Thank you, Lord. Heal the sick among us. Bless our efforts in the relay, Lord, that we will come forth with great, great outpourings. And God, that will be a great help to the fight of cancer, against cancer. Oh God, when we walk in pride and glory and honor to your name. You gave us the ability to walk. And so God, help us in this endeavor. Bless Reverend Holly, Lord, we pray. Heal his body that he might be strong upon his arrival. Share with us from the gospel and let every ear come to hear what the man of God is saying to the church. And God, tomorrow evening, we pray for a great outpouring. We'll fill this room with prayer warriors that are more than conquerors. Fill this room with our silent meditations, our song, our scripture, our amens. Let us begin now a new day. And we won't mess up. And we certainly won't miss out. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. Have mercy. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. Have mercy. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. Have mercy. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen. Amen and amen. Let's stand on our feet very quickly. If you're here today and you want to make Christ your choice, we want to give you that opportunity to come down these aisles, come along the walls. We're standing all over the house. We're getting ready to go. I know the hour is late and I know you want to get somewhere, but God bless you. I just want to give somebody a chance if you're here today. If there are none, would you shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, and tell them, don't mess up and you won't miss out. God bless you. Go in peace.